Let's open our Bibles back to Genesis. And we're kind of coming towards the end of our bridal glories in the life of Joseph. But the Lord keeps popping them up. So I know there's at least a couple more in here. Amen. Praise God. So, but we're just going to wait on the Lord and let Him do it. But last week, we left off in the 41st chapter. And Joseph, so sweetly, we saw the revelation of the double portion he was always given. It wasn't like he was given the double portion when he was brought up to reign and shown that he was going to reign over all when he was brought into second in charge of command on all over Egypt. His double portion was the very moment that God called him and chose him. You understand that? And even in Christ, before the foundation of the world, what was for Joseph, it was always there. Because whom he foreknew. See, he foreknew and he predestinated Joseph for that glory. Isn't that wonderful? And all of the grace and all the backing. And know that God is faithful to his word, brothers and sisters, that, you know, he said that he will perform. I will perform the good work which I've begun in you. And trust him. Trust him. If a life like Joseph lived, and the hardships he had, and the things that turned against him, and unfairness, and I know there were some unwise choices too. Joseph was not a perfect man, no matter how people want to put Joseph up on a platter. Understand that. He's just a man. But if he could go through it and have those knocks and still believe the vision that God given him, we can too. And we've got exceeding great and precious promises. We have a better thing. And you think of the entirety of the word of God we have. And think of the chosen vessel that God has given to us. That gave us this precious, wonderful word. The chief of sinner. To testify to us of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. You know what I'm saying. So we thank the Lord. We know that if he be for us, who could be against us? I thank the Lord too, as we saw with Joseph, which was so incredible. It's just been delighting in my heart. He was given a vision of what God had for him. God told him, honey, they're going to bow down. They're going to bow down before you. You're going to reign over it all. That's going to be yours, son. And, you know, his grooming for that, you know what it was? It was as a shepherd boy. It was as a slave. And then it was as a prisoner. So if you thought about, well, if that's all that he really ever knew, how could he have all of the ability to immediately reign and have all the wisdom to reign, all the knowledge to reign, all the words to say over the whole world at that time? In a moment of time. Because God said it. And I pray that we take that for us. You know, we can look at the likes of us and say, you know, what in the world would you ever know about ruling and reigning with Jesus? Everything. Because you know what? He gave you the faith to believe him. And see, when we see him, we will be like him. And I thank God that he'll give us a glorified body like unto his own. And I thank God that, again, I think about sweet John Hill, one of the very last times I spoke to him. Oh, honey, isn't that awesome? We're not going to have to get ready. We're just going to enter in. You know, we're not going to, like, come to a place and wonder, you know, well, what do I do? You know, how do I enter into this? You're just going to enter in. I just loved that. And the delight in his voice and joy in his heart that he knew that God is readying him to enter in. And oh, he did. And there's a waiting right now of what it's going to be when it's fully revealed. Praise his name. But here we are with Joseph. It was revealed, the double portion. And he got a double portion in every way. He got the double portion in how he ascended, and now he's ruling over all of Egypt. He got the double portion. He got two sons. I got two sons. He got the double portion, Asenath, and all the meaning in that. He got it time and time again. His vision had become his reality. And you know why? Because as he had believed, so be it done unto him. That's as simple as it was. I believe. Praise God. So, we read the 55th verse of chapter 41. And I believe we can kind of relate to this. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And by grace through faith, we know that we will share this with our Lord in the heights of glory that has never even been comprehended. Praise God. Now, as this story moves on to chapter 42, Joseph's brothers that had sold him into Egypt, they think he perished. They don't know what had happened to him. They thought he died, obviously. And they returned to Egypt for food because it's a time of famine. So let's go ahead and read verses 6 and 7 of chapter 42. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. There it is. Praise God. And at this time, they didn't even know it was him. They didn't know that was their brother. See, and he saw that before it ever happened. Do you see it before it's ever happened? You know what I'm saying. Praise God. I thank him. I rejoice because that is glory for him. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now, I want you to think about this. Joseph made himself strange to them. Now, do you realize that is what the bridal truth does to us? It makes us strange. It makes us strange to people who don't know it or don't want it. And I'm talking brethren that don't know it, don't want it. When they don't want the bridal message, they don't understand you. They don't. You're strange. You really are. When you don't take all grace, you can't discern all grace. You understand that? Amen. It's truth. I know lots of Christians that cannot comprehend the liberty that I understand. But I don't understand because it's the same liberty that they have, but they just don't believe. Amen. Amen. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. The Word of God. But this is so sweet because, we're disguised. But this word strange even means some other things that are so beautiful. It means to revere and respect. Think of that. He made himself strange. He made himself to be revered and respected. And that is what the glory crown doctrine will do in us someday. See, right now, do you know you're revered and respected by the Godhead? You really are. You're loved and admired and cherished. God loves you. Let me tell you something. Those that have children, and as they grow and as they mature, fine parents will respect their children. It's true. And you just wait to do that because it's an honor. Because you realize of what God has caused you to give to your children that has grown them up. And see, they're going to be revered and respected because as the Word of God tells us, He said He's going to make known to all that He's loved you. Now, we can take that place by the grace of God. Amen? See, we're talking about ones that have received that vision. Ones that understand, praise God. You know what? He loves me more than all. His love for me has exceeded all the other women. But that's for you too. We can enter into that body. Isn't that amazing? Just like by faith we entered into the body of Christ. Amen? Do you know by faith we can enter into the body of the bride of Christ? Amen. Isn't that something? It's the same thing, isn't it? It's just by faith. I can take that place. I can take the place. I'm not going to say whatever I want in heaven, but I'll tell you what, I got one of two choices now. I'm stuck. I'm either going to be in the bride or I'm going to be in the innumerable multitude. What do I want? Well, let me think about that, huh? By the grace of God, I want his best. I want what he lived for me to have and what he died for me to have. What he was raised for me to have and where he's seated. And what he gave to me in the Holy Ghost for me to have. So I want to have that. But going on with this revere and respected, you think about the tribulation time and into the millennium. She'll rule and reign in judgment with him. And then you talk about this rough voice. Do you remember reading about the seven angels and even those cherubim? Do you know they have voices like thunder and lightning? When they come out of that altar, man, they're screaming. And you know what? Thunder can be pretty rough. You ever jump when it thunders when it's too close to you and you hear it? Boom! I saw my wife one time. We were walking out a doorway and that thunder hit. I'm saying not very many feet from us. She literally jumped. I was one back. And this guy, his name was Paul. His name was Paul. She jumped right in the arms of Paul. And she was, laying down. And he caught her like this. And he's looking at her because she had jumped right into his arms. And I thought, well, there you go. But I won't go on with that. But that's what a thunderous and lightning can do. Is it shakes you up, doesn't it? It can make you fearful. And the bride speaks like him. You remember studying that? We get that, don't we? Praise the Lord. But she speaks like him now. She has the same speak as he has right now. Yeah. Praise God. All right, now, let's look at verses 9 and 10. It says, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamt of them. And he said unto them, ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, no, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants, come. Isn't that something? The dream made true, the visions made reality. And those brethren still, they never entered in. They're servants. And see, just like when the bride shall be taken by the grace of God. And then will come in the palm wavers. They'll be the servants. It's here too. There's lots. And what God will show us in this word continuing on in the exceeding riches of his grace. Oh my. But thank the Lord. See, we see this, don't we? And why were they only servants? Because they rejected and they never believed the crown glory to reign as Joseph. But see, God, even though it would be there for all, he gives grace to whom he'll have grace and mercy to whom he'll have mercy. He knows. See, this is the God of all foreknowledge. Praise the Lord. He's brought us to a place to hear the whole counsel of God. He's brought us to this place tonight to hear this Bible study. You know why? Because we'll receive it. Isn't that something? That's the assurity of the Lord. This isn't something that we're sitting here and saying, well, this is too much for me. I can't get this. I can't comprehend this. Oh, no. This is a cookie on a shelf now. Praise God. These cookies get better all the time. Even though he never changed, he gives you better cookies. I don't know how it works, but it just does. But it's sweeter and sweeter. And it's amazing because that's just him. It's glory to glory. That's what glory to glory does. But so Joseph gives them food. And as you know this story, we're kind of combining a lot of things here tonight. He secretly not only gives them food, but he returns the money that they gave him for the food. And he puts it back in their bags, in their satchels. And basically sends them home. So read verse 25 with me here. It says, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provisions for the way, and thus did he unto them. So you talk about grace. You know, that shows the grace of God and just his encouragement. But remember, this time of this famine is representative of in type of the tribulation time. Think how gracious our God is. And by the grace of God of what we have the opportunity to take that place with him to provide such blessing to the brethren that remain. It's very encouraging. Let me tell you something. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Isn't that something? He's such a mighty, wonderful God. He loves, and he loves his sons. But get this. When his brothers realize that they have food and their money, and their money in their bag, they think it's a mistake. Go ahead and read verse 28 with me. You don't think God has a sense of humor? And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done unto us? I look at this, and it's like, you got a double, triple portion right in the face, and you still don't get it. You still don't get it. And it hurts my heart, because this is how, but for the grace of God, we could be still refusing the great grace. God, time after time, reveals it. But yet you just keep rejecting it. I think about how people read Paul's gospel and they still say, but God doesn't really mean that. I mean, this guy put corn and he filled it to the brim. He gave you your money back. And he gave you provisions. And all you want to do is fear. See, it's just like, you know, drifting back in legality. You don't realize how great grace is. How all-sufficient it is, and how all-powerful it is, and how that's all the performing of everything is. And he loads it on you. He smothers you in it. And I was thinking how by the grace of God, the Lord's allowed me to testify to quite a few people and tell them about Paul's gospel. But so many do refuse it. And oftentimes I hear, oh, that's just too good to be true. I've even had a few curse me and say, well, you shouldn't talk like that, son. Nobody's going to rule and reign jointly with Christ. It's like, have you ever read Romans? You know, it's just like, what are you saying? No one's going to be glorified. Only God's going to be get glory. I said, no, there's going to be a company that's glorified together. You shouldn't say that. And it's just, you just stop talking, because that'd just be wasting time. But it's a sad thing, because all that double portion has been poured out. Colossians 1 tells us that wonderful double portion that Paul gave out, it was poured out to every creature under heaven. It's just all there. It's right there for you. God's not a respecter of person, but they still refuse it. And all I can say to all of us, by the grace of God, let's not refuse grace. Amen. Let's take it all. Take it all, and take it more, and take more. You can say it, you know what? We can say it as a big chorus. We don't deserve it, but that's God's way. I don't deserve it, but give me more. I don't deserve it, but that's what mercy's all about. It gives me the exact extreme opposite of what I deserved. But yet, we have so many brethren that still want to work it. And it's never going to be that way. Why would you want to be found in your own righteousness, which is of the law? God forbid we'd go that way. So we're thankful that we can take it all and just please him. So Joseph at this time, before he's actually sent his brethren away, he's telling them, you guys are spies. And the reason he's telling them they're spies, because they didn't bring his little brother, Benjamin. He wants Benjamin. There's something special about Benjamin. And he wants Benjamin. And so he says, you know what, fellas? I'll tell you what. You guys are spies. I know you're here to do something really bad, and we're going to kill you all. But I'm going to give you a chance. I'll believe you if you go back and you bring me that little brother. And if he tells me the same thing you've told me, then it's going to be okay. Now, Joseph now waits for Benjamin. There's something about a great, full grace brother. There is. Rachel's offspring. She had two. Think of it this way. We know that we're all saved by grace through faith. We know that. We're all grace saints. But I kind of look at brothers of Joseph that fearful and all that, those ten. They were kind of like half-grace brothers. They didn't take full grace. They didn't. But he had a full-grace brother. That was Rachel's boy. And Joseph was Rachel's boy too. And he wanted his full-grace brother. Got to thinking that's us, isn't it, brethren? And I hear this a lot of times from folks that move out of town and all of that. It's sweet, and you do desire Christian fellowship. But you long for cherubim fellowship. Amen. You long for it. You crave it. And it becomes something that you miss. And that is such a grace that God gives you, is when you long for those brethren of like precious faith. When you can stay away from them and doesn't affect you, something's wrong. Amen. That love has waned. And I'll tell you what, Joseph wanted Benjamin. So, this is kind of what's been said here. And in chapter 45, turn on over there, they return with Benjamin. And can you imagine, Joseph can't even contain himself. And he can't contain himself for his love for his brethren. And yet they still don't get it. They still have no remembrance of a dream that was told to them. And the reason is because they never wanted to hear it. And they never abided in it. And that's most of God's precious people today. Amen. And that's the truth. Amen. So, you know, it can be right there in front of their face, but they still do not get it. So, let's read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 45. Here the brethren come back, and they got little Benjamin with them. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried. He said, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. See, Joseph had to reveal himself. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Now we know this is so precious because this is such an encouragement of us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let's do receive of what Christ in that glory in us, praise God that he's working for him, speaks to us. But this is the cry of the full overcomer. This truly is continually. This is the cry of God meant it for good. Go on over to chapter 50. This is when Joseph says this. Chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph says to his brethren, he says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." See, you thought evil against me, guys. Come on, be honest now. But God, meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And that's what this is. Do you really believe your life is perfection upon perfection upon perfection upon perfection? I will perfect that which concerns you. Praise the Lord. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? All things work together for my good. I love that. I thank God for it. All things. Even when I'm not good. Even when I'm not my best. He's given me love to love his purpose. Do you love his purpose? Or do you love your works? Don't love your works. Love his purpose. Amen. See, his purpose will work in you. And then things will flow. And but it all comes from loving his purpose. He's the sustainer. He's the keeper. Praise be to God. And when that's our meditation, then the things that try me, I really don't think about anymore. Till someday, they're really out of my mind. And I guess what I'm trying to say there is, I think the Lord is really honing in my heart for His purpose. And I quit seeing individual things as much in my life. See, when you start looking at individual things in your life, you'll be either up or down. Well, that individual thing brought me up, or that little thing brought me down. And God, what He wants you to do is to see it in His totality and in His faithfulness. And then you'll finally see that all things in faith are a masterpiece. Amen. And that's the truth. I don't want to isolate the events, because then I get caught up into an event. Then it becomes a judgment call. Was it good? Was it bad? As opposed to all things work together. I need all things working together. That's abiding in a confidence in Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's abiding in a confidence in Him as opposed into happenings. Praise the Lord. My life is a series of before ordained good works to walk therein. Amen. Praise God. But it's not the steps, it's where they lead. If I'm worried about the steps, then I'm going to be just, you know, looking down or worried about that step. He said He's made my feet like hind's feet. I don't see them goats when they go up high and all that. They're not looking, well, where's my foot going here? You know, and my foot there. Now see, that's how man climbs, but he ain't no goat. And there's some great climbers. But them goats, they're innate and they just... Yes, they can. Now, let's go on over to 14 and 15, verse 14 and 15 here. It says there that Joseph, he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Now notice, again, this emphasis of Benjamin. Benjamin, it shows he greeted first. And there's great purpose in this. And what a rejoicing it gives me in thought. See, by the grace of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 encourages us that we which are alive and remain. Amen? But the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. So I think about this like, you know, greeting and meeting maybe Brother John Hill. Brother Hill. Brother McLeod. So many others, you know, Sister Wilson, all these different sweethearts, and thanking God for them so much. And even as a little guy, I could see light that God had shown me. But then the brethren came afterwards. See, he rejoiced with Benjamin first, then he rejoiced with the other brethren. All right? Now that goes on further. The double portion was always through that line. It was through Joseph. It was through Benjamin. It was through those two sons. And here is the point with that as well. They were all last, but yet in glory they're first. Amen? Oh, yes, they are. And think about their stones that we mentioned. Joseph, his stone became the two stones for Manasseh and Ephraim, okay? And then you had Benjamin's stones, all right? Or stone, I should say. In the breastplate, they were positioned last. When Israel went out to camp, they were on the west side. They weren't on the east side. That was the west side was kind of like the backside. It was the least important. They were last and put in there at the end. But yet in glory, they're first. They're always the preferred. That's the full grace. We talked about that last week in Revelation chapter 21. You see, as it begins, the foundation of the city. The very first three stones that are mentioned there were the last three stones of the breastplate. Now they're the very first three stones of the foundation. How did that get flipped around like that? Because the last shall be first. Amen. Remember how this whole thing started? Joseph was preferred because why? He was the son of his father's old age. And here the sons are. Amen. And you think of the last that shall be first now. You think about what great grace, this glory that God is offering to us to be the first company to meet him in the air. Think of that. I mean, that is just tremendous. The focal point of all of this, this offering that we have, to be this truly this prominent light and glory with him. The prominent light and glory with him. Think of this, what he's telling us that she is. Revelation 21, just go on over there. I love how that concludes down there in verse 23. It finally says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So it shows you that there's two there. The glory of God did lighten it. She's the glory that it speaks of in verse 11 that descends from heaven having the glory of God. She is that glory. And he is the light of it. That's what's offered to the last right now. And I thank God how wonderful that is. Amen. Praise his name. I think that's enough to chew on till he come almost, but at least for tonight, praise God. He given you that vision. Now just live it. You don't need to do anything. Just cherish it. Amen. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take my crown. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, be dismissed.